Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in to your Thursday FreightWaves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's time to check in with Thomas Wasson, our host and writer of the Loaded and Rolling Community Spot. Thomas, thanks for joining us this morning.
Pleasure to be on. A lot of fun stuff, and the time of recording, the first day of spring. That's right. I committed a cardinal sin of broadcasting just to bring some good news.
There you go. Spring has sprung, and with it, we are headed into another season, but maybe not good news for the folks in the trucking industry, right? Just because we are headed into your spring, into your busier months, doesn't mean that the winter blues are being shed. And we've got some news going on around contracts and contract lengths that is a pretty interesting thing to talk about. So where are we at with that, Thomas?
It's a fun one because, I mean, it's not fun for carriers. We'll just make sure that fun in this industry is who has the upper hand. So, save everybody the point. It's still shippers. There's too many trucks. The capacity is abundant. So here I am trolling the internet, and I found an article by Furniture Today. And yes, you may say, Thomas, how does Furniture Today have anything related to trucking? Well, they interviewed some people with logistics and even Ashley Furniture, a few people. And it's really cool because one of the big takeaways was that trucking right now is sharing more traits with maritime. So we are seeing shifts in this down market to a more transactional relationship than what we've seen in the past, where carriers were, and shippers, it felt like we were a little more monogamous and having longer term relationships. Nowadays, with so many, with low rates and capacity being as it is, shippers are metaphorically pulling out Tinder and they're looking for capacity.
There you go. So not just are we having to deal with the talking stage before you get into a committed contractual freight relationship, you're also having to deal with folks who are wanting to keep their dating options open, right? And maybe you're together for a month or 2 months or a quarter, but they're not looking at getting into those annual cycles like they were before. And keeping their options open is really a lot of the motivating factor, right? We're seeing as we continue to move into your warmer months, typically your freight tends to pick up, but along with that, your pricing options then get wider as well. Is that kind of the motivation behind this tactic, is that, hey, we're not wanting to lock ourselves into any specific rate right now, so we're just going to keep playing the field?
Right now, it does appear that way. Tiffany Bowman, CEO of Blue Water Logistics, had a really cool quote on this. Back in the day, with more transactions, customers used to be going for like a year, 2 years, 3 years. Now they're seeing it reaching out for rates even daily, more transactional, weekly, more mini bids. But one of the cool ones is they said that, bids that would take place in May and June are being pulled in. So think of like February's instead. And so, they want to lock it in early. So you can imagine that if you're a shipper, here's your strategy. Don't pay as much money. If you're a carrier, you have the opposite strategy. Charge as much money. The market's at the bottom now. For a shipper, you would think, well, why is it that they're not trying to lock it in all the way for a year? Why are they doing it for more mini bids? Well, right now, it's almost like playing a game of Marco Polo, where rates are still going back down, even spot. We're still seeing contractual declines, tender rejection levels, and compliance. Rejection rates are down, which means compliance is up. And so for shippers, it makes sense why the accordion. Why is it that they're starting to act this way? Well, it's because they don't really know if it's really the bottom. Now, we've talked about the bottom. We're still at the bottom. We've been at the bottom for spot rates. We found a spot floor. What we haven't really found out is, what's the spot floor for contracted rates? And they're still trying to figure this out. And so, before the second half, consensus right now is second half of the year, summer, maybe it'll get better. Who knows? As we don't know how many carriers that need to go out of business before this happens. But we are seeing changes in these behaviors. And that's what was really fascinating. A big shout out to Furniture Today, bringing some interesting insights.
So if you're a carrier, obviously you like that monogamy and you like to have consistency in your relationships with your shippers, because that means that you have a guaranteed source of income. And if you're a broker sitting in the middle, you like a little bit of a mix, right? You like to know that you can play the spot market, but you also like having those contracted clients, again, that guarantee you revenue, but gives you the flexibility to chase after some more money if you've got it. In other words, you like to have the opportunity to look for better options. So maybe you're in a committed relationship, but you still have like Hinge and Bumble and Tinder all on your phone. I don't know. But if you're a carrier in this situation, how do you go about managing that? The fact that shippers don't want to settle down and commit, but they realistically know that they need to have some form of commitment in order to stay operating.
biggest thing right now, evaluate your mix and evaluate your book. You're going to be taking it on the chin in the punching term in terms of rates are going to continue to go down. You're going to continue to get this pressure. That is a given. But make notes, because just like you will find that there are some more transactional shippers and there's some that value this monogamous longer term one. I love the difference here. It's like the equivalent of going on Tinder saying, I'm just looking for friends. Well, that's what shippers are doing right now behind incumbents' back, saying, hey, you want a mini bid? You want to check out some spot loads? You know, it happens. But I love the mental image here. But at the end of the day, for carriers, once this market turns and you need to ask for more, this is the time to start looking at options of maybe I need to change up my mix. Because there is a fear that if you cut too far, you reach bone. And we don't know what bone yet means in this market. So if I'm a pricing analyst, if I'm like a VP of truckload operations, I'm looking at right now, what's my mix? Who's asking for the most cuts? Do these cuts match? Are these good? Do they hoard my trailers? Are they not tendering at regular times? Is there issues where they say I can only give you 80% and it turns out the other 20% is that metaphorical hinge or bumble? But we're calling that lower on the routing guide because, you know, you're also facing pressure from brokerages and other carriers. And the pressure is greater than before the pandemic, because prior to that, brokerages did not have as good of a market penetration. We're talking single digits high, maybe 10% tops. Now we're like 20 to 30% in terms of brokerages getting access to lanes that used to be exclusively reserved for asset-based carriers. So you got a double whammy. I mean, do like what Santa does. Make your list, check it twice, and when Christmas comes around, figure out who you want to shaft. Because I promise you, if I was in truckload operations, I will not forget. Even though the joke is technically carriers are more myopic and they can't look ahead to save their lives. Hopefully someone in your organization is smart enough if you have a few thousand trucks to remember which customer shafted you. Because when the shoe is on the other foot, we will see a surge in outbound tender rejections. But right now, no data indicates it. So it's more of the same. It's a tough market.
There you go. All right, let's move on to our second topic here today, and some bad blood for a serial arsonist. And even with the Taylor Swift puns, we are not talking about Swift herself, but Swift trailers, wherein arsonist has now gotten several sentences handed down to them.
What's crazy is this person had been convicted prior to messing with Swift stuff. That's what's fascinating. This was beef. This could be a Netflix special, because as soon as this fellow gets out of prison, within a year later, starts lighting the trailers on fire. So a Michigan man from Allen Park, Michigan, was found guilty of 6 counts of arson for these vehicles, commercial vehicles and property. Been in custody since October 2022. Tells you how fast the legal system moves. But he had set fire to, this is the crazy part, 18 additional trailers. Let's do some math. 18, 19. 24 trailers total. They figured it out because they all happened at night. And they were all being lit around the back axle. And so Swift had hired an investigative consultant, and they used the telematics and the GPS data from his cell phone and his commercial. He took his commercial truck, apparently. Allegedly, he took a commercial vehicle where they pinged off of that, and they found his cell phone, and it matched the times where some of these incidents were occurring. So, it was wild. Found this story from the DOJ stuff and another affiliate, and you just don't. I know I'd be mad, but you get by 24, like that's, and it was nationwide from places like Alabama, California, Arizona, just a wild story.
So the bottom line there is if you're going to set fire to multiple trailers, make sure that you're doing it in alternating days and times, and don't be a pattern if you're going to be a career criminal. Thomas, let's talk a little bit about next week's show. What's coming up on the docket?
I'm going to be talking with Nicola, who's our sponsor. You can see him in the bottom right corner of the bug there. Check that out. That's so fancy. Talking about infrastructure. Yesterday, last time we spoke to them, last month, it was about capabilities. One of the big topics, though, is the infrastructure. There's a lot of moves. We also hear about government, trying to come up with a plan for this infrastructure. So we're going to ask the folks in Nicola about it, what they're doing, what they think about it, what maybe needs to be done. It should be a really good conversation, because any conversation about, zero carbon vehicles, electric vehicles, alternative energy vehicles, you have to also talk about how do you refuel them? How will that refueling station get refueled? And what are the things that go in between it? So a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely. There is no EV power without infrastructure. And Thomas, thank you for joining us this morning. For people who want to catch the show and the newsletter, where can they do it?
Check it out at freightwaves.com/loadedandrolling. Newsletter goes out Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, and the live show Wait, Thursdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, they both start with a T. If you sign up for the newsletter, you'll find out all these things. But yeah, we're going to have next week, Tuesday at 2 p.m. with a Nicola interview. And then this coming on Thursday, it comes out at 2 p.m. for the actual. So if you get a Tuesday or a Thursday, just remember around 2 p.m. Get excited. I'll be around.
There you go. That middle of the week gets yours for loaded and rolling. Thanks for joining us, Thomas. And of course, we'll talk to you next week.